from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Lee.
Howdy there, Tara.
Well, went exactly like I said it would. She would rapid-fire lies at him so fast he could barely keep up. He would need to anticipate those lies and have the facts at his fingertips to refute them. Sure enough, this got wild yesterday. President Trump highlighting her support for defunding the police, even raising the money to bail out the protesters, the violent protesters who burned innocent people's buildings.
Yep.
So ABC News pointing out, she was for defunding. I mean, Kamala Harris, I'm sorry, Trump pointing out on ABC News, she was for defunding the police. She's shaking her head. That's not true. Here is the ABC News article on her defunding the police. Harris in 2020 said, this is the headline, "We have to redirect resources from police." The comments came in the wake of George Floyd's death. It's dated July 30th, 2024. So she just lied her butt off.
Nope.
I mean, just flat out lied.
Without being corrected by the moderators.
That was the outrageous part. But they, had correction after correction after correction, some of which were lies themselves for Trump. And he just ended up mired in a mess. Do you think this is going to have any effect on the race, Lee? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's on the margins it will. And of course, that's what's critical, because quite honestly, listen, anybody who's already made up their mind they're voting for Donald Trump, nothing changed last night. Anyone who's made up their mind they're voting for Harris, nothing changed last night. And it was, as we always talk about, it's those folks in the middle who are sadly just now paying attention to what's going on with politics in a presidential election that are going to be deciding the fate of the nation and possibly the free world. That's where it lies. We're still a long way out from November. I know it's rapidly approaching, but I'm just not so sure this is going to be the critical make or break moment. If there's any damage done on either side, I think they've still got time to correct course.
I hope you're right about that. My big fear is that, and has been in recent days, that we're so close, and voting starts this month in two of the swing states. We're so close that if at this point you get just a little boomf in the in the polls, in the race, you get a 1 or 2 point lead, and you open it up, you get that kind of momentum. It may never stop.
I know one thing.
Breakaway,
I wish that ad that I saw on the Fox News channel prior to the debate starting about the deaths of at least three people due to illegal immigrants that were in this country illegally and committed these murders, that was such an effective ad. And it's sad that we're having to take the loss of life and use that for political gain. But that's what's going to take to shake this country and to understand these are the consequences of liberal progressive policies. People die. Americans die. People who are innocent die. That's what happens. And these are the results of the policies of the person that is nominated for this Democrat Party. And we have a different course, a stark contrast into what happened in the previous administration. And it should be noted over and over again that the Biden-Harris campaign ended the Trump policies with regard to immigration and the southern border. They ended them. They changed them from day one. They actually changed everything. And that's what led to the circumstances that we have now. where we have Mexican drug cartels taking over buildings across the Texas and Arizona and California areas. That's why we have these murders going on and these collisions with unlicensed drivers that are in this country and the crime that is going on that absolutely, positively is happening. It is not a lie. It's not a conspiracy theory. But I wish they would run that ad over and over again. Put it on The View. Put it on the places where that the uncommitted voters or undecided voters are going to see it over and over and over again. Because here's the real circumstances of the consequences of Democrat, liberal, progressive policies. And I just thought that was so effective last night.
And you're talking about the one where she's laughing and saying illegal immigrants don't commit crime?
Yeah, and they put up the pictures. The actual people who died, the young girls, the young women who are dead because of their policies.
It is devastating. I actually have it right here. Here we go. I'll play it. Here we go. Yeah, no, I played part of it yesterday.
It is our undocumented immigrants that are the least likely to commit a crime.
Police report as many as 75% of the people they've arrested in Midtown Manhattan for assault, robbery, and domestic violence are illegal migrants.
Police have tracked down a killer whose crimes spanned the country. Rachel Marin was dragged from a hiking trail in Maryland where she was raped and murdered.
Police say Brandon Ortiz Vite used a handgun he bought illegally to shoot Ruby Garcia multiple times on Friday.
The prime suspect charged in Lake and Riley's murder was 26-year-old Jose Antonio Ibarra. He illegally entered the United States back in 2022.
A Texas grand jury indicted Rafael Gouveia Romero. He's accused of attacking 16-year-old Lizbeth Medina by repeatedly hitting her head and stabbing her.
So let's get our notions together about what we're talking about.
And it says Kamala Harris is failed, is dangerously liberal.
Yeah.
So here, look, here's the good thing. This is 45 states. It's pointless to even run ads in them. They're going to vote the way they're going to vote.
Right.
They're
yeah.
set. This is a 3-5 state race. It's going to come down to about 100,000 votes. And it's probably really going to come down to North Carolina, Georgia, and Pennsylvania. In fact, Roy Cooper, the governor there in Georgia, the governor in North Carolina, who's a Democrat.
Yeah.
But Trump won North Carolina last time. He said, look, if Kamala Harris wins North Carolina, she wins the presidency. That is true. But if Trump wins Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania, he wins the presidency. So, I got to tell you, these states are being heavily, heavily, heavily blanketed with ads that we're not seeing. So, if you're living in South Carolina, you're not really seeing the presidential race. Not like they are. This is a settled state. It's going to go for Trump.
Yeah.
Honestly, what we think doesn't matter that much, but what they think in Georgia and North Carolina does matter. And I'm here to tell you this, and this you're gonna get sick of this. Your ears are gonna bleed, but that's okay. Until this election, this audience can save this country. We are heard in the top third of Georgia.
Yep.
And my dad hears us driving around in his car in Charlotte almost all the way to the center of the city. That's how much we blanket. And it's going to come down to a few thousand votes potentially in these states. So you need to make sure I said this last night at Willie Taco. If you know somebody, we all know somebody. I know somebody in Georgia. I know somebody in North Carolina. Contact them. Message them on Facebook. Call them and ask them right now. Here's the first step. Are you registered? Because some people haven't voted in a while and they think they are. They're going to get a nasty surprise. You may be inactive. So are you registered? Because registration in both those states is open until the first week of October. And by the way, Lee, you can register online now. If you have a driver's license, you can register in both states online. You don't even have to get out of your chair. So what you need to do, if you feel like, gosh, I wish I could do something, you can do this. Put this up on your social media. It's not hard. You Google register to vote Georgia, register to vote North Carolina, it'll come right up. And you can do that. And what we're going to do is we're going to get them registered, and then we're going to get them out to vote. Okay, the registration deadline for North Carolina is October 11th. You can go to ncdot.gov. It's right there. Registration application right on the front page. Easy peasy. Georgia, October 7th is the registration deadline. You can register in person, by mail, or online if you have a driver's license or a state ID. Super easy. The other thing you can do is you can Google whatever county you live in. If you live in North Carolina, you live in Georgia, Google the county you live in, county, and then Board of Elections. See if you're registered. You should be able to check it right there online. If you can't, for some reason, call them. Their number's online. Or just forget all that and go register. Who do you know? Who do you know in North Carolina? Who do you know inside? This audience can save this country. I'm telling you. Put it online. Again. Find them. And, you know, maybe if it's your girlfriend because you went to high school in Georgia and you're still Facebook friends, message her. If you don't feel comfortable, maybe texting, message her on Facebook. Hey, have you seen this? Are you registered to vote? I'm just, you know, doing a little voter registration. You don't have to be from an organization. And then you're going to follow up. Vote, 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 vote. If you see somebody posting Trump stuff, if, you know somebody is like-minded. Because we all need to get outside our comfort zones and do this. If this audience did that effectively, I think we could sway this election. That's two states, two swing states. And if you're listening, please register. And you might think, Terry, why are you saying this? Come on, if you're listening to talk radio, they're registered. No, they're not. When I was at Willie Taco last time, we had this great guy come up, super enthusiastic, super educated. I've been listening to you for a couple of years. I love it. I love it. I'm thinking about registering to vote. And I went, what? You're not registered to vote? No. How do I do that? I was just like, whoa, you're listening to this station? You're not registered to vote? So, I mean, that told me, wow, there's a lot out there like that. So find them, post online, your friends, your family, like-minded. We don't want to register liberals, okay? They can fend for themselves. Register them to vote. Contact them. Drop out of the sky if you have to, because your future depends on it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, debate rundown. Michelle Woodhouse joins us. She's the afternoon news host at WPTF up in North Carolina, 92.9 and 107.5. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Tara. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. What did you think about the debate last night?
Well, you know, as I was watching it last night, I had an opportunity to finally get some sleep, think back over it this morning. I think what we saw last night was a 3-against-1 debate. I think what we saw from the ABC moderators made CNN look objective in the way that they moderated the Biden-Trump debate. I think Donald Trump landed some good blows. I thought his closing remarks were rock solid, reminding Kamala Harris that she actually is in office right now and has been for over 1,300 days and could go to Washington, D.C. and get these things corrected, all the chaos that she has created. But I thought she was disciplined. I thought she was well rehearsed. And he took the bait a couple times. And that was, kind of unfortunate to see. But I'm not sure how many people watching that debate hadn't already made up their mind on who they were going to vote for.
Yeah, that's what I wonder about, is how much of an impact it had. You are deeply involved also in North Carolina politics right now. What does North Carolina look like to you? Because North Carolina is a weird place. It's a red state. Trump won it last time. But, I mean, your vote has also elected a Democrat governor, Roy Cooper, who's serving right now. What's your gut on how Trump's doing there?
I think Trump's doing well in North Carolina. North Carolina traditionally delivers a Republican presidential victor. We've delivered for Trump back to back. I anticipate Donald Trump will win again in November. I think the ground game here is very strong for him. He's very popular here. It absolutely is a red state. We deliver presidentially. We have two Republican senators. You know, one's a small R, one is a big R. And we 13-0 in judicial races, statewide judicial races in North Carolina since those races went partisan. So statewide races, Republicans do incredibly well. I anticipate President Trump will win North Carolina somewhere in the 2-3% range. And for us, it's kind of a landslide. We don't elect Republican governors traditionally. We've only elected two in the last 50 years. But we elect Republican lieutenant governors because in North Carolina, they're separate. They don't run as a ticket. And so, it's interesting to watch kind of the behavior here. One of the things that the Republican Party in North Carolina is doing, and it is a brilliant move, is they have this down ballot committee that's focusing on all of our Council of State races, which are critically important. We've got a very key attorney general race here. I know you've had Dan Bishop on. You know him well. That will be an important, important win. I dare say it's the most important statewide race on the ballot. For North Carolinians, we've got to get Dan Bishop across the line to be the first elected Republican attorney general since the 1800s, with a great opportunity for a Republican pickup in our auditor's race. So the Republican message is strong on the ground in North Carolina. North Carolinians, just like everyone across this country, have seen the failures of the Biden economic policy, the Harris border disaster. Today, as we all remember the tragedies of 9/11 from 23 years ago, people need to pay very close attention. This administration has opened our border to 12 million illegals. They don't know where they are. 99 known terrorists are in this country because of Kamala Harris. She has blood on her hands for every fentanyl death, every illegal immigrant crime that has been perpetrated against an American citizen. And sadly, as we watch and remember September 11th today, I can't help but wonder, because of this administration, when will this happen again?
Yeah, and that was the most disappointing thing to me, Michelle, was just, look, House Judiciary Committee gets Homeland Security documents in August, on August 5th, reports them. This is indisputable that in 2023, the Biden-Harris administration captured over 250 terrorists from the terror watch list, had them in custody, released at least 99 of them into America's communities. This has been on Fox News. The Attorney General of Florida did a nice interview about how she's going to sue to find out which terrorists are in her state. So this is not some, you know, low coverage type thing. And since August, Michelle, I've been posting on X, when is Trump going to hold her responsible? And some people, commented, said, well, Tara, he's probably saving it for the debate. And I thought, you know what? That makes sense. He's probably saving it for the debate. And you know what? There were 37 of them that we still had in custody. Turn to her and ask, you going to let them go too? Where are they? Are you going to repatriate them? It would have been devastating. He doesn't do it. Does he know, Michelle? Does he not know? This is Fox News stuff. This isn't conspiracy stuff off X or something. And it wasn't there. And you end up, I was baffled not to hear that last night. I mean, absolutely gobsmacked not to hear it last night. And then again, the Department of Justice, we just got leaked documents from them. They are afraid of Trende Aragua. And they are planning for a joint response to this gang that is being let in, illegal immigrants, in many cases, by Joe and Trump on our, I'm sorry, by Joe and Kamala on our soil. He didn't mention it. How?
And when he talked about Aurora, you know, you can't assume that everyone that's watching saw what we saw.
Yeah.
And to see, and you heard those interviews. I know you've talked about it so many times on your show. Can you imagine living in an apartment complex where a terrorist gang has taken it over like we're on the streets of Venezuela? They are attacking with machetes and axes and assault rifles. This is happening in a suburb in Colorado. These are things that we expect to see in third world countries. And there was no account to Kamala Harris. And ABC didn't hold her to account on it either. They let her get away with lie after lie after lie. And you know, it is amazing to me that her approach to this election is, you know, I'm not in office right now. I didn't create these problems. She and Joe Biden created these problems. And it's very obvious the media is not going to hold her to account on it. You know, I like you, was waiting for Donald Trump. He had many opportunities to do it. Debating is difficult, right? It is an art. It is challenging. But no matter what question they ask, the answer needed to be about the border and the economy and crime, because those are the things that American voters are saying are their top issues, are the problems that we're facing. You know, you look at gas has doubled in price under this administration. We talk about crime, unemployment, inflation. She wanted to talk about housing credits. Well, there's a housing crisis because mortgage rates have doubled under this administration, and never asked about the $818,000 job creation number that was fake that they had to pivot on. That's never been covered again. That was one short little news cycle during the DNC. This administration has gotten away with 3.5 years of lying to the American people. She did it again last night, and we have about 56 days to figure out how we get a message to the American voter so that they know and continue to ask themselves a very simple question. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago?
A question
we all know the answer to that.
Yep, she could not answer that question, Michelle Woodhouse, and that was really telling. I hope the American people caught that last night. Thank you so much for joining us. You can catch her afternoons, WPTF-FM. Michelle, thanks for joining us. Well, Dr. Carol Lieberman, a psychiatrist, joins us. She's got a very interesting theory on what might be going on with Kamala Harris. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
What is imposter syndrome, and why do you think Kamala Harris might have it?
The imposter syndrome is when someone feels that they are not really qualified to be in a particular position. You know, it could be, or even, for example, if getting into a school that they think is really for kids who are smarter than they are. Any kind of position that they are in where they don't really feel they have the qualifications to be there. So Kamala, you know, she in California, when she was starting her political career, basically slept her way to the top. And when Biden picked her to be the vice presidential candidate, she knows that it wasn't because of any brilliant mind that she has, but it was more to have a woman and to have particularly a woman of color to get those demographics. So she doesn't really feel that she deserved to be vice president, and she certainly doesn't feel that she deserves to be president. So, you know, now I'll give her that she didn't cackle during the debate last night, but she has been cackling every other time, and that is a symptom of someone feeling anxiety and uncomfortable and a symptom of this imposter syndrome, because she's always worried that people are going to find her out.
There are odd gaffes with her. What about you mentioned the word salad? Does that have anything to do with imposter syndrome?
Well, you know, to the extent that that is also an example of anxiety, yes, you know, she's under the glare of the spotlight, and she winds up saying these sentences. You know, she repeats things in different ways, but it's just all confused. Now, it's not necessarily the same kind of dementia word salad that Biden has, but it could be a sign of a neurological problem. But I think the easiest explanation, and more likely explanation, is that it's part of this anxiety from imposter syndrome. Now, last night, she must have practiced, rehearsed. We know that she did for quite some time. She even had somebody dress up and look like Trump. I will give her, she really put in so much energy to prepare, I think more than she prepared for her boards, for her law boards. And so she didn't cackle, and she you know, had some word salad, but not as much as typically she would have.
Interesting. Well, one of the things, Doctor, that everybody is commenting on this morning was Kamala Harris's strange facial expressions when Trump was talking. What do you make of that?
Yes, you know, that was really obnoxious. It was, she didn't have the words. I mean, clearly she had memorized all these lines that she used last night. There were certain lines that were meant to make Trump feel defensive and, you know, to try to throw him off his game. And when he was saying things that were, you know, really good, she didn't have the, you know, she didn't have any impromptu words. She couldn't come up with things to say, like, on the spot that weren't these memorized sentences. And so so she just grimaced. You know, that was like to show her displeasure or, oh, my God, can you believe what he just said? That kind of thing. And that's just kind of immature. And it's, you know, it's just, I mean, because even Trump did that to a little degree. He did that with Biden to a little degree, but not really very much. She was trying to do a lot of expression, you know, grimaces.
Any other insights last night's debate? And I know you're watching for the body language as a psychiatrist.
Well, the grimaces, I guess, are the best example of that. You know, she's thinking, she's angry. You know, I didn't expect him to say that, or why did he say it? You know, from the news that I've been seeing, and I said it myself last night, he didn't do quite as well as we would. Well, I'm obviously a Trump supporter, but he didn't do as well as I think people expected. He said he got a lot of good stuff in, but he could have gone deeper. Like he knew where the bones were buried, where her bones were buried. And he didn't really, go that deep, touch her that hard, or push her that hard. You know, I think the best example, though, of something that he did, and I wish he had done more of it, was on different subjects. But he said, when he said her father is a Marxist, which is true. We all kind of know that that's true. And the point was that she's trying to make this country socialist, Marxist, communist, all of that. But he knew so many other things. Like he didn't ask her about specific policy questions. He didn't ask her about things that she wouldn't have known. I mean, to some degree, he was talking about why didn't she do more already about the border, for example. But he knows so much more. He could have caught her on so many more things. You know, it was kind of interesting when he said your father was a Marxist. That did throw her off her game for a bit, and that's when she came back. I think that might have been the time when she said something about him being a felon, or, you know, a criminal or something like that. At the point that she said that, she was reaching. She was feeling defensive.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, Trump, you know, was easily able to say, this is, yes, I'm a felon and all these things because of, you know, your party, who's been bringing out this lawfare against him. But it was a little disappointing. I think he could have done much better. And I mean, nothing was bad that he said, but I just wish he would have skewered her a little more.
We all felt that way. Dr. Carol Lieberman, thank you so much for stopping by. I hope you'll be back by again in the future. Thank you for joining us this morning on 98.9.
You're very welcome.
WORD. Well, last time Kamala Harris ran for office, she was all big on the mandatory gun confiscation. Last night, she denied she'd ever stood for any such thing, even claimed she owned a gun. Something she's never said before. I guess you're so busy talking about how you're going to confiscate everybody else's guns, you don't get around to mentioning you have one. Or she just lied. You know what's incredible? Last time she ran for president, she told David Muir, who was one of the hosts last night, one of the moderators, how she would do that. She would use executive orders for gun control. You can't do that. We have a Second Amendment. She didn't seem to care. He asked her, hey, listen, last time you were on the stage, you know, Joe Biden pointed out to you, there's a Second Amendment. You can't just sign a piece of paper and take people's guns. Here's him asking her about that.
I'm going to eliminate assault weapons, saying you can't do it by executive order any more than Trump can do things when he says he can do it by executive order. Does the vice president have a point there?
Some things you can. Many things you can't.
Let's let the senator answer.
Well, I mean, I would just say, hey, Joe, instead of saying no, we can't, let's say yes, we can.
Let's be constitutional. We got a constitution.
And yes, we can.
Yep. She thinks she can sign a piece of paper, take your guns, make you turn them in. Can't imagine what that'll look like. She thinks it's funny, though. Last night, she denied any of it ever happened, and it happened on ABC, the network she was on last night. Oh, my gosh. Okay, folks, Trey Gowdy was on Fox News this morning. Lost it. I've never seen him this animated about anything. It's today's epic rant. It's about the debate last night. Here's Trey Gowdy. He wasn't happy. And this, okay, here you go. Let me refire it.
Personalize the victim. Did you hear President Trump call the name of a single person raped, robbed, killed, assaulted by a border crosser last night? I did not. I heard about cats and dogs in Ohio, but I didn't hear the name of a single person that was killed as a result of Kamala Harris. How about the Afghan kids that were droned? Do you hear them brought up? I mean, any names. It was a land of missed opportunities to me last night.
Would you do another one, Trey?
He better. And he better get a brand new debate prep team. Because the goal is to get under his skin. So talk about crowd size rallies. Talk about your wealth. I mean, anybody who's spent like a week in law school knows how to cross-examine someone. The key is to not take the bait. I mean, when you get a question about the border or abortion, and you're talking about student loans, she voted against banning partial birth abortion. That is an extreme position. She says she's in favor of Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade does not allow partial birth abortions. So, look, the moderators didn't fact-check her, but there's no reason he can't do it. Yeah. But to do it, you have to know the facts, and you have to be prepared. And what I saw last night was an initially prepared candidate with a good closing argument, but by that time, the jury's already made up its mind. And I just think it was a land of missed opportunities. Whoever prepped him for that debate should be part of the second debate.
When she was AG in California, she sued Barack Obama when he was president to prevent fracking off the coast of California.
This too shall pass. Couple of news cycles, everybody will forget about it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.